is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. No fancy intro this week. I'm not emotionally able to put one together. It's Monday the 13th of May. As we're recording this, it's a minute past 8 o'clock in the evening. And we're fresh from the news that Shelburne Football Club has been granted a 250-year leasehold for Tolka Park. Then I said we'd just jump straight into this because, to be totally honest with you, I think the last week of football kind of fades into the background a little bit. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, a bit stuck for words myself. You see the news, you read it, and I kind of froze a bit, weirdly. Like, it's what you're waiting for, it's what you're hoping for, and when you finally see it, you just don't really know what to do. Like, it's just overcome with emotion, definitely. A little bit overwhelming. Look, I'm not ashamed to say, little tear was shed. A happy one, of course, but it's just it's incredible.
I remember when the campaign started originally, I remember having a conversation with my dad about it. And the two of us had resigned ourselves to the fact that we were going to Daily Mount. So it was like, just, there's no point. Like, let's not. And I do remember a conversation I had with Johnny Watson as well. And it was like, look, we don't want to talk about it because, well, I didn't want to get my hopes up. I didn't want to allow myself to think, you know what, this actually could happen. It might actually happen. And they don't want to be named. Their names have never been put out there. But the campaign, the South Tolka Park campaign as a whole, I can only speak personally, but I will never be able to actually put it into words how emotional it was hearing that. I watched the live stream of it. As you said, I just kind of just froze. I can't put it into words. I mean, Tolka, people think it's just grass and blocks and plastic, but again, I can only give my own personal kind of opinion on it, but like, whatever has ever gone on in my life since the day I start going to Shells games with my dad and my brothers and my cousin, my granddad went before them, Tolka was always, always there on a Friday. Didn't matter. Like, I've missed funerals, I've missed birthdays, I've missed everything to go there on a Friday. And the thought of not having it anymore was just too much to even think about. And whatever about, look, we've seen some shit football over the years. We've seen some great football. That all kind of fades into the background for me. Like, that place means the world to me. I know it means the world to anyone listening to this. It's just, I don't know. I really don't know what to say. All I can do is just thank anyone that had any part of it. Anyone that sent emails to local councillors, people that set up benefit nights, people that went against the club and gave their opinion really, really strongly on it, that this is wrong, this shouldn't be happening. People just fought for something that, I mean, I think people were afraid to fight for because they were so convinced it wasn't going to happen. And I seen a tweet there from a member of the campaign that just said, the rebels have won. And that's definitely what it feels like tonight. It's, I mean, where the club are at the moment on the pitch is one thing, but securing that ground, like, that ground now has been such a positive or such a constant in my lifetime, and now it's going to outlive me. And that is just, I don't think it gets any better. Ben, help me out here before I start.
No, I think you're right. I think Alan Smith as well said in our group chat, it's a win for the good guys, and it really does feel like that. Like, I echo all your sentiments. Like, Tolga Park has been a constant in my life with Shells. Like, no matter how hard life gets, the hardships of life, it's always there on a Friday night. It's always a place to go. I've met some of my closest friends there, yourself, Reggie Smith. Like, it brought me closer to my brother. It's just, it's more than a pitch. It really is. It's just, it's hard to put it into words, but it's kind of like Cheers a little bit. Everyone knows your name. Bit of Hotel California. You can never leave. It's just, when you know, you know. And it just means so much. I'd never want to go anywhere else. And I think the thought of Daily Mount was just, everyone kind of resigned themselves to that was happening, that was done, that was over. And we wouldn't have Tolka. So, look, the Rebels have won, people fought for it when really they had every right to fight for it, but it's almost like they're fighting a losing battle at times. And it just shows the perseverance and the strength, and it's incredible. It's just, it means so much.
I think you said it best there. Like, people had just resigned themselves to the fact that, okay, I'm going to be going watching the Reds playing Daily Mount, and it never felt right. But I think the most important part of all this is that while me and you and thousands of people had resigned themselves to the fact that it was going to happen, a few didn't. And to that bunch of people that have that, the stubbornness, the smarts, I mean, there's so much went on to get to this result tonight. So much. And it, you couldn't even imagine the work those people have put in. And they went against the grain. Look, it was really hard on this podcast at times to not talk about it, because all any of us wanted to do was talk about it and give our thoughts on it. But it's, I don't know. Ben, for all that good news, I need you to give me a memory from Tolka. Give me something about Tolka. When you think of Tolka, just give me what comes to your mind first.
I'd say it's probably a nice, funny memory. And I think it was 2019. Back in Tolka celebrating, and I think we're all sitting in the dugout for some reason, and there's a few memories from that night. One is Darren flicking up, I think he flicked it up, but I'm pretty sure he just threw it and pretended to, and screamed Davy Rogers with a Bulmers can. And Doody, I think you know the ghost of Tolka Park. Do you want to take that one?
Yeah. Right. There's not much.
I've stung you badly there.
Yeah, basically it was post the UCD game in 2021, was it? It was either UCD. No, it was I don't know, were they Limerick or Treaty or what the fuck were they at the time? I don't know.
7-0 of Limerick.
No. I'm thinking of, I'm all over the shop now. My emotions haven't stabilised yet. The game Georgie Poynton scored the penalty.
Yes. What was that?
It was that night. Basically, the long and short of it is I got fucking wanker drunk. And I don't remember. Well, I kind of remember the afters of it. But you were out, again, around the dugout area, I think. And spotted a shadow moving around down at the jacks there at the Ballybock end. And don't remember, it was one of you. Like, somebody down there. Somebody else said, no, there's not. You fuck off. There's nobody down there. Who's going to be down there? No, there is definitely somebody down there. There's 100% somebody down there. And then it disappeared, I think.
It did, yeah.
And it reappeared trying to scale the gate down where the turnstiles are for the home end. And it was me trying to escape Tolka. because I was so bladdered that I walked out of the bar, took a wrong turn, and was so bladdered that I didn't know where I was, and panicked and thought, because the lights were off, that everyone had left. So I tried to escape Talca from three different corners of the ground and couldn't get out any of them.
I think that's
and then just found me, and then the story grew legs, and I was listening to the Mission Impossible team on my earphones. Supposedly.
You had your earphones in when we found you. You 100% did.
Yeah.
That has to be up there at my favourite non-footballing moments ever.
So yeah, if you ever hear anyone on this podcast in future talking about the ghost of Talca Park, it's me. Ben, that's a random memory. Give me your best footballing memory, Talca.
It's gonna be a recent one, and it's just because I think it epitomizes and captures the beauty of Talca, to me anyway, and it's the 2022 Cup quarterfinal against Bowles. It's like a 2 o'clock kickoff, the sun was shining, such a beautiful day, the confidence, everything. It was just a perfect storm of shells, Talca, magic. It was everything.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. Obviously, Jack was in Talca there on Friday, and definitely in recent memories, that's one of those ones that just, it does stick out. I'll start with football and one. My football and one would be, I always go back to this one as one of my favourite Shells moments, but 2007, after being demoted, looking like there wasn't even going to be a team to follow. I was quite young at the time, so I didn't really understand what was going on. I remember being braced for, you know, there may not actually be a team to go and watch this year or any year. But that first game of the 2007 season, the draw against Kildare, Darren McKenna with the equaliser. I don't know, for being so young, I think I realised how important it was more than I should have, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it was just very emotional and very, I don't know, it just felt different to any other memory I'd had up to that point. Like, I obviously looked Scouser's goal, like winning leagues and Talca, winning the league in Inchicore, all that stuff, amazing, but there was just something different about that one. I was standing down and at the front of Section E there. I would have been with my dad more than likely. And yeah, that's one definitely that sticks out football-wise. But just like talking about memories in general at Talca, this is probably going to be a bit, I don't know, cheesy to say, but like I didn't, like my dad's not a drinker, so I know a lot of people like would go, you know, have a pint with their dad or whatever, that had been our kind of bonding time or whatever you want to call it. I didn't have that because my dad wasn't a drinker, but my bonding time was Talca, was going to Talca on a Friday with my dad. Like I can still go through the whole day in my head. When I was in primary school, he'd collect me from primary school, go home. My brothers were in secondary school, so I'd be waiting for them to finish school. We'd have his head wrecked to get down to Talca really, really early because I used to love watching the warm-ups. Kind of brought back a bit there with Richie Baker being in Talca on Friday. Like, he was one of those players that he was like Messi in my eyes for a kid now. It was just, and still is, it's been the one probably constant I've had in my life. Like, we plan holidays around Shells, like Vanessa hates me. I don't know how my ma put up with it for so long. I think it's because she got the house to herself on a Friday, because all of us were gone out of the house. But just that is my memory, driving down to Talca on a Friday with my dad, my brothers, and then later on my cousin Gav came into the fold. And yeah, that's what I think of when I think of Talca. And like, my brother will be on the podcast later on, he's going to take part in Mastermind. Shells was always just the thing that brought us all together. Always. Like, whatever about, you might be killing each other during the week, or might have, like, had a fight with my dad or whatever, but you were still going to Talca on a Friday. We could have been on our deathbeds, sick from school. Didn't matter. We were going to Talca on a Friday. Made no odds. What was going on at home? We went to Drumcondra on a Friday night, and that was just the end of it. That's, yeah, a bit of a life story there. And I know my dad will listen to this, and he'll probably give out to me for telling stories like that, but that's what it means to me. And obviously in recent years now, it's been like, because I always went to games with my dad, I didn't really drink because he didn't drink, so I had no reason to. But in like the last few years, kind of since the back end of COVID, yourself, Darren, Reggie, Owen Smith, like that's my friend group now. It's, you know, it's going up and down the roads, dealing with some crap. We've had some good moments on the pitch, but we've had some fucking great moments off it as well. So that's what, yeah, as cheesy as it is, that's...
No, I like it. I agree. I think like it's just, like, as you said there, it's your friend group. It's your family now. Like to be a time where I'd say the lads, my mom wouldn't know who I'm talking about. If I say the lads now, she knows exactly who I'm talking about. It just gives you, like... People don't realise how much the club can give you sometimes in terms of friendships, relationships, whatever. It just creates these bonds, and it used to be a lifetime bond over misery. Like, I have it hanging up in my room. I have a photo of me and my brother when he bought me my first Shells jersey in 02. And, like, it's still up there. It's still framed. And it's probably one of my most prized possessions because... We've been going ever since, and the Reds has been the biggest constant for us in Talca Park on a Friday night. Again, one of those constants. It's just, it's hard to put into words what it means to you and the people that you spend your Friday nights with. But look, I wouldn't want to spend them on anyone else.
No, absolutely not. And it's come full circle on my family now, because my nephew, Bobby, he reminds me of me. Well, I think he's 12. Again, he'll probably slag me for that. Not on his age. I think he's 12. But looking at him now, it's like the way I was when I was a kid, and now he goes to the games with my brother and my dad, and they stand together and watch games, and it's like it just keeps going full circle. It doesn't stop, and it's not going to have to stop now because of the Trojan work. And I know they don't want to be named because they don't put their names on anything. It's the campaign is the most important thing. They know who they are. You should never have to pay for a pint in Talca ever again for the work they just did. And I know in their statement, they singled out the women's side, rightfully so, because they went against the grain and they really went full throttle. And as they say in the statement, it's a victory for equality as well for the women's team. It's their home now for 250 years, just as well as anyone else. And they've fucking earned it. And again, she'll probably kill us for this, but Pearl was the figurehead and all that. So we could never, just won't be able to thank people enough. We could sit here all evening, Ben, trying to thank the people that need to be thanked. But what a fucking day. What a day.
Unbelievable. Look, I think we spent a large chunk talking about this, but it deserves it. It could have its own episode. It could have 10 episodes. And
well, it could, Ben. And you know what? The group chat has been shut for the last couple of weeks. It had maybe fizzled out a little bit. Funny enough, that came with our little downturn in form as well, which, look, that's kind of how it goes. But whenever you listen to this, I want people to go out of their way, send us in a voice note. Just give us something about Talca, like what me and Ben have given you there. Just something, whatever you think of when you think of Talca. You might only be going to games a year, not even a year. You could be going 60 years, whatever amount of time you're going to Talca. We want you to get in touch. Let us know your name in the message so we can play it for everyone to hear. And just share your memories. I think it's so important now. It would be the equivalent of toasting it for me. So get in touch. The phone number for the group chat, as always, it's 085-166-6784. You'll get us on WhatsApp there, obviously. If you'd rather, you can DM a voice message to myself or Ben or anyone from the club, it'll find its way to us somehow. But do get in touch, because look, I know we always look for football opinions off people, and but I mean, the football doesn't really bleed matter.
No,
to me today, it really doesn't.
No, I think that, like, so you're right, this should be immortalized. It should be one of those things that, look, you can listen back on this and you have your say. It's so important. It can be a memory. It can be a footballing memory. It can be something off the pitch. It can be a smell you have as you walk down Richmond Road and you come in the gate. Anything about Tolga, just let us know. What does it mean to you? Who's it brought into your life? Who's it brought you closer to? Anything.
And do not be embarrassed to send in a voice note, because I just cried on this podcast. So if I can do that, then you can send in a voice note. No problem. So
the two blubbering idiots here, Duty.
Yes, yes, yes. Do get in touch with us again. The number is 085-166-6784. Let us know just how amazing Tolka Park is. Oh, Ben, before all this, as you say, we're recording on Monday this week. There has been football. There was, since we spoke to the listeners last, a trip to Derry. Myself and Darren took the spin up. You had very, very important career business to take care of, so we'll let you off that one. But we obviously drew the game 1-1, a deserved point, snatched it late on through the great Sean Boyd, justice for Boydie. My windscreen ended up with a massive hole in it from a rock bouncing up off the motorway. But it was worth it, I think, for a point. We'll see what the insurance has to say first. Then, what did we move on to then, Ben? Did we move on to Dundalk on the Friday, wasn't it?
Yes.
No.
No.
Dundalk was the Friday before. It was... I don't know. My brain is not working here. I'm
Drogheda.
It was straight into Drogheda, wasn't
it? 0-0 Dundalk, 1-1 with Derry up there and 1-1 with Drogheda.
Yes, look,
forgive us, our brains aren't really working.
Yes, yes, yes. This is a real on the fly type pod here, so do bear with us.
You know what? Now I kind of understand why managers and players kind of take a minute to compose themselves after a game and do an interview, because doing it straight away after having something as emotional as that, it's tough going.
Yeah, well, I was sitting here, I came in to kind of get set up, and I had the stream of the Dublin City Council meeting in the background, and when I heard that it had been passed, I was like, right, let's get on and record now. Let's get on and record now. Like, get everything raw and all the rest of it. But in hindsight, probably should have taken a minute to maybe
God bless the
compose
listening.
Myself. But look, there was football. Friday, a 1-1 draw with Drogheda in Tolka. Real mixed bag, I think. It's another point. Look, there's been talk bandied about, if you're not going to win the game, don't lose, but feels a bit different when it's a home game, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But I also think the expectations were there to win that game. I think the manager echoed that, and Conor Kearns also echoed that, in a way. Like, the manager saw it as two dropped, because chances just weren't taken, and he mentioned about leaving half football on the pitch. It's a 100-minute game now. You can't really leave a half football on the pitch and expect 3 points. And I think that's a fair assessment of Friday.
That's pretty much the nail on the head. In terms of shooting yourself in the foot so early in the game, only a couple of minutes on the clock, JJ Lunny done an interview during the week, and he spoke about knowing how dangerous Drogheda were from set pieces. Mark Coyle gives away a silly, silly free kick in a wide area. They whip it in. Header, ball's in the back of the net. Like, it was a bad, bad goal to concede. Piero just kind of drifted in between. I actually think it was the two centre-halves he dropped in between. And it was a good header in the end, and we had a bit to do. But I felt the reaction after the goal wasn't great. it was a bit kind of like the manager said it again, you can't just play for like 35, 40, 50 minutes and think you're going to win games. And especially when you give the likes of Adrada, who are organised, in fairness to them, when you give them something to hold on to, and you're always going to struggle, really. But I think one of the biggest things that happened on Friday for me was the three changes at halftime. And that's a ballsy old move. I know the manager spoke to Darren after the game. Come on, Ben, sorry.
I was going to say, I think I turned to you and said, has he ever done that before? Because I genuinely didn't remember ever seeing that. It's just something, it's a real roll of the dice thing, but it's a kind of a good, I think, maybe statement to make to say, hey, look, if things aren't going our way, we're going to change it. Like, we're there to win games.
And I think as well, the players that he took off, like, I think there's a strong argument to be made that JJ and Tyreek have been two of our best players this year so far. Absolutely. So to hook them off at halftime, like, that's a real statement. I mean, a lot of nonsense and noise around Shane Farrell and Duffer the last few weeks. The manager put all that to bed. But even taking Shane off at halftime after all that rubbish that went on, people making mountains out of molehills, it was a real, right, nobody's really safe here. Even though I know Coyler was taken off later on in the game, I presume that was more of a fatigue issue just because of the amount of ground that Coyler covers. But we did improve in the second half, didn't we?
Yeah, I think we did. But you said it best there. Like, it's, and I think Conor Curran said it, you could have replaced 11. Like, anyone could have gone at any stage. And I think it just shows that when they're not up to the standard that the manager is holds them to, and he does talk about standards, he isn't afraid to roll the dice and go for something. I think that's great. I think the response was definitely there. I thought Evan Caffrey actually impressed me an awful lot. He's had very limited football, and when he does come on, you never know where he's going to come on because he is that versatile. So I thought he did really well getting the ball, turning and just driving at people.
I actually have his name circled here as he was one of the standouts in that second half. I mean, he puts a brilliant ball in for Boyd's goal as well.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's important that, and there's listener questions, we'll probably touch on it a bit more later on. There's this kind of argument that people make, or it's not really an argument, it's more a statement people come out with, where it's like, oh well, yeah, right, we drew a home to Drogheda, but like this time, whatever, 6-7 years ago, we were playing down in Mareview or Salt Hill, or you know, so let's look at what we have. But
we need to get rid of
it. You're not gonna get anywhere with that attitude.
It's the usual Shell's kind of pessimism of, oh, but look at how far we've come. So what? Park it, leave it. We want to go further. We're trying to go further. We look like we could be going further. So let's not compare ourselves to 6 years ago. Let's compare ourselves to last week. Try and better ourselves week by week. That's, I think the players echo that sentiment, saying, and they said it from the start of the year, none of them will focus on the league table. It's just we take it game by game. And I think that's important. So there's no point in comparing last week to 6 years ago, because you're not getting anywhere.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And again, like, I try my best not to come on here and, you know, people will accuse you, oh, club podcast, you'll toe the club line. I'd like to think we don't do that all the time. And like, we don't praise players for the sake of praising them. We don't criticise players for the sake of criticising them. But I think Conor Cairns kind of, you could visibly see, like, if you look at the very first second of his post-match interview, he's good. It's like, it's the same kind of body language players were giving off when we lost the cup final. It was literally like we had
lost
the league on the last day of the season type stuff. And
but that's
I amazing. Fucking love that. Yeah. That's what I want. I want that. Like, no more of this, ah, look, at least we didn't lose, or, oh, you know, at least, you know, we're still top. Like, I think we need to let go of that as well, because when you strip it all back, we only have one win in 9 games, And that, for this group, for the group of staff we have, the level of staff and player that we have at the moment,
not good enough.
No, it's nowhere near good enough. And like, I've no problem saying that, because that's the attitude you're getting off the players. Like, the players are in no way trying to deflect, or, you know,
they'll be the first ones themselves to tell you that they haven't been good enough. Conor Curran said it in his post-match, and I think anyone would echo what he said, because they're not going to lie to you. That, like, they get it straight from the manager, they give it straight to us or anyone that speaks to them. They're not hiding behind things. They are wet. Like, Conor Curran's touched on accountability and said how important accountability was. And you can see that they are taking accountability for it. And it hopefully, look, things will change going forward. I think this group are an ambitious group, but they're also very, very hard working. And I don't think they're going to shy away from things going forward.
Ben, in terms of the way we play, look, I have a firm stance on this as well. When we don't win a game, people are very quick to come out and say, oh, it's all sideways and backwards, sideways and backwards. We don't go forwards, we don't go forward. That's just football now. And I think we'll thrive in Europe because of that, because that is how European football is played. You watch any, like, qualifiers, group stage matches, that is the way the game is going. And I think we're very well prepared for that. But I think the only thing that I ever look at and go, oh, I just don't know about that. When, like, if we go with, say, Boydie as the kind of the top man, the most attacking player, say, I'd love to see us get it in the box a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I seen the stats there earlier on. We, like, doubled the amount of crosses we got into the box in the second half. And, like, we bash-drawed it. I know we, look, went a bit gung-ho at one stage. It was like Evan Caffrey was, like, a one-man midfield. It was like the bread-and-butter sandwich formation, like 4-2-4. Just get loads of bodies up there and see what we can do. But I just wonder if we are going for that more patient kind of, you know, back around, let's wear them down, find little gaps. And I'm the biggest fan of Boydie I think there is. I think he is a fucking brilliant centre forward, but if you're looking to play more into feet and move teams around, is the likes of a Matty Smith a better option there? Because just off the top of my head, Matty was playing there early in the season and we seem to be a lot more fluid going forward.
I think he offers you a lot, especially when you can just play at the feet, but personally I think he offers the most to the team when he is playing that little bit deeper. And he can pick up the ball and just penetrate, because when you watch him, when he does get the ball, it's just head down and he'll drive at you. And he's a powerful fella. Like, he's definitely not one I'd want to stand in the way of. And I think that's probably where I'd prefer him. I do think Boydie is our best striker, out and out striker anyway. And we've said that since the Waterford game, and people were calling for his head. Like, he's, people will probably still call for his head at some point, but he gets goals. You want your striker to score goals, and whatever about it, he's scoring goals.
That's it. Like, and I said this before, and some people probably take this up as like a slight on Boydie, but it's not meant that way at all. Is he better coming into a game where we have kind of changed and we are looking to put more crosses into the box? Or, like, I'd love to get into the psyche of the staff, and just, because, to be fair, a bit of ball did bounce off Boydie on Friday. It's kind of balls into his feet, particularly in that first half, when he's kind of not really controlling, not sticking it. That's what I mean by, would a Matty Smith or a John Martin be a better option if we're going to go that way? But, like, if you're talking about getting balls out wide, fullbacks getting forward, Will Jarvis, Liam Burt getting crosses into the box, I mean, Boydie's as good as striker as you're going to get for that type of way of playing. No, so I
do agree with what you're saying, though, to an extent, because I suppose if you do look at when his goals come, they come late. Like, there's no really way of arguing it. They do come later on in games. Maybe that's just because tactically there is a change-up where they are going for more crosses in the box. So, look, maybe it could be right. I'm not saying you aren't. I just think we talked about strongest lineups earlier in the year. I think when you play a Matty Smith off of Sean Boyd, have him a bit deeper. I think personally that's when we've played our best football.
As you're saying that, we have had our best performances with Matty Smith in the team.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, as far as I can remember. So, and I know, Matty was injured last year, so maybe it's a case of managing his minutes a little bit as well, because he obviously didn't start against Derry, and he didn't start in Dundalk either, did he? Or did he? I know that's putting you on the spot there. I'll be able to pull that up now in a second, but he definitely was out of the team for two games. But I don't remember whether... No, I think he was in for Dundalk, and then on the bench for Derry and Drogheda, wasn't it? So it could be just a case of have to manage his minutes, manage his load a little bit. But yeah, I'd be Matty Smith in the starting 11 this coming Friday, definitely. I just think he gives us something really different. I can't put my finger on what it is. I think he's just really well rounded, that he can kind of do a bit of everything.
Yeah, I think if it needs to be held up, he can hold it up. If he needs to start running at people, he can do it. He's his finishing is up there with some of the best. There's the reason the manager called him a game changer when he first came in. He is that, and he can change games. And look, coming back from injuries probably, as you said, affected minutes. But I think he's definitely, we're at our best when he's in the team.
100%. It wasn't an argument, because I wouldn't argue with this man. It was a heated discussion, I would call it. Coming up to half time, the game on Friday, a next teammate of mine at submarine level football, good old Doyler. But there's a large part of the fan base at the minute that is very, very, very pro Shane Farrell, and that he should be starting every week. And then there seems to be another side of the fan base that's a bit more hasn't really done enough when he's been in the team to warrant starting. I just want to see where you sit on this argument, because Doyle's argument was basically that, Shane Farrell's ability to cross the ball, in a game like that, could potentially be the difference maker. I would kind of argue Friday, his use of the ball wasn't overly great. And I've heard a lot of people saying, Sean Gannon's no use going forward.
His crossing
is terrible. He hit the most cross. He had more than double the crosses everyone else had on Friday.
All his deliveries were just pinpoint. They were so good.
Yeah, and I think he massively overhit one, but he was putting great balls into the box. Again, Drogheda, to be fair, defended crosses quite well, but...
They're a big team, Drogheda.
They are, to be fair. Look, that's probably all you can say for the Drogheda game. Really disappointed. I won't say we should win games like that. I don't like that attitude, but if you really want to be winning games, pushing on, staying up in the top end of the table, you do need to win games like that at home. And Waterford, I think, definitely feels like a game now that we need to win. That's going to pose its own challenges. They're sitting fourth. They've had a great start to the season. We poorly predicted them to be right down the bottom of the table. But who would have known the circus that would flow into Oriel Park? So
yeah, I don't think anyone.
I think we got a free pass on that one. But Waterford, Ben, what do we do? What do we have to do differently?
Execute a game plan for 100 minutes. I think that's it, really. Conor Cairns touched on it and said that tactically, they were sound, they were set up, the game plan just wasn't executed. And again, if you leave 45 minutes out on the pitch, especially against this Waterside that have just turned Shamrock Rovers over, we're in trouble. Because they have that ability to turn you over, and they will. They have a lot of pace up front, they have a lot of power. They're not going to be an easy side. So if we're not on it for 90, 100 plus minutes, then it's going to be a long night, unfortunately. And I know that's probably harsh, maybe a bit overly harsh, maybe a bit pessimistic, but I just think we really, really need to be at it.
The biggest thing for me on Friday is putting the bleeding ball in the net. We and I hate it. but I'm going to use it here because it fits my argument. We had an XG of like two, more than two, on Friday, believe it or not. Like, we had some brilliant chances. Boydy clipped the bar with one in the first half. There was a ball put over the top for Liam Burt, just couldn't control it. In the second half, Dean Williams had two really good chances, the one when he kind of tried to round the keeper, which I actually think, from looking back on that one, John Martin should have been more aggressive because he was running straight onto it. He could have just stuck his boot through it, but John Martin then had another chance from a cross. It was kind of like waist height, and he went at it with his head straight into the chest of Andy Wogan. Like, we did actually create chances, and I've been a little bit critical, not critical, but been asking more of Jarvis and Burt. Well, in fairness to them, they did. We did create on Friday. It just feels like the same old story, just not taking those chances, and kills you, because like that, you leave teams in the game, give them an opportunity to rob something from a set piece or whatever it might be. But yeah, I just think we need to score. Go ahead on Friday, because when we go ahead, we're very, very difficult to break down. So that would be the
goal would be great to see.
The stuff of dreams, Ben. The stuff of dreams. But I'm due to miss the game Friday. It's my nephew's confirmation, and I'm a sponsor, so I'm due to miss the game. But with the news we got tonight, I'll be doing my level best to make an appearance down there.
Just bring him.
Move on to. Hello, he's not allowed. He's not allowed. He's not allowed. He's not allowed. He has to stay for his party. He did ask, though. To be fair, he chanced his arm. Moving on to Saturday, as they so often do, our women's Premier Division side rescued the weekend. A 3-0 win, comfortable in the end. It was obviously 3-0 win against the LR Waves. Pearl, who can I just point out, has been a goal machine since being on this podcast. So, any players anywhere across the club struggling to find the net, if you want to hop onto the pod for an hour conversation, no problem. We'll boost your stats for you. But a routine, but an important win, Ben.
Yeah, very massive, massive win. I think kind of like it opens that table up, really. I think leaves us a point behind Galway, isn't it? And they have a game to play. Is that how it works? Do we have seven played? I think we do.
Yeah, hang on. I'll pull the table up. I need to start printing stuff off. I never print off the league table, and I should have it at hand all the time.
I'm open.
Yeah, Galway have a game. Galway have a game in hand. They're a point ahead.
Yeah, so, look, that's massive. That it was, look, as you said, kind of a routine win, but that's what the side are capable of. Some of the best football I've seen them play in the last few years have been this season. Like, they work the ball really well. They work hard for each other. And look, Pearl's getting our goals. Next, all we need to do is get our statue.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming soon. I would say I'll pay for it myself, but no. We'll do a whip round. Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of people doing whip rounds, Dundalk, they are dust. You may forget about Dundalk. Brian Gartland gone today or yesterday. Noel King pretending to manage the football team, but he's actually not.
Mad. Shooting from the hip.
Nah, it's mad. It's mad. Ah, you think that's caning people? Graham Watson slagging me for caning people last week. Well, you hear the, well, when we get to our Richie rankings here. But you're safe, Ben. Don't worry about it. But look, it's three on the bounce for the girls. It's a massive result. Rebecca Devereaux obviously added the third late on. Such good build up play. We should mention as well, actually, Ava O'Mahony made her debut on Saturday. She did sign a number of months ago, but there was a crossover with the registration and season, stuff like that. So she was only became eligible there recently. So great to see her get her debut. Played a great part in that third goal. Slipped a great little ball through, and then it ended up defeat of Rebecca Devereaux, who, not to lump pressure on people, Ben, but looks to be a superstar at 16, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that she really looks the part. She plays the part really well. She has everything. Like, there is really no ceiling with her from what I can see. Like, she can run with the ball. She can hold it. Passes, finish. She just kind of has it all. So, world at her feet, really, I think.
Yeah, I'd have to second that. I do, like, you have to be very careful with young players. I know, I understand that. You know, you don't put them on too much of a pedestal or that, but every time you see her, she just looks a cut above everybody. Like,
she
even after,
like a veteran, like she plays.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She doesn't play like her age at all. Someone said she's 23, 24, coming into her prime, you'd be like, yeah, absolutely. You can see it in the way she plays.
Like, she obviously only came on the game on Saturday, netted one, but then she went out and played the next day for the under-19 side and netted two off the bench as well. So there's no end to the talent there. So she's most definitely one to watch. Fixture-wise, for the girls this week, they are back in All-Ireland Cup. Avenue, sorry, I should give these things their proper names. Darren will kill me for broadcasting errors like that. But the Avenir Sports All-Ireland Cup, and the girls are down to play Wexford away on Saturday. It's a 6 p.m. kickoff. As far as I know, I'm not good with working out mats and league tables and stuff, but I'm pretty sure they both already qualified, barring a big swing and goal difference. So another chance maybe to get a few younger bodies on the pitch, get minutes into legs, probably more importantly, get rest into the legs that need them. But yeah, look, it's been a solid start. Owen Whirl, I'm sure, will be delighted with the start they've made. Sitting second to, it's probably not unfair to say, the surprise package in Galway. They've always been a good, kind of organised team, but don't think many people would have stuck them top of the table after 6-7 games. So, solid, going well, long may that continue. I mentioned there the result for the women's under-20s. I'll just give you a quick little academy roundup from the weekend. The men's under-20s had a nil-all draw away to Derry. That is a long, long slog, but at least coming back with a point softens, cushions that blow. The men's under-17s had a 5-1 win at home against Dundalk. The women's under-19s, as I say, a 4-0 win. Rebecca Devereaux net twice in that one. That was against Finn Harps, and the under-17s had a convincing win at home to Finn Harps as well. That's on the women's side. So a good weekend for the academy all round. As always, FAI Connect is the best place to go for those fixtures. If you're at a loose end on a Saturday or a Sunday, hop on to FAI Connect. It's pretty easy to navigate, and you'll get all the fixtures, kickoff times, venues, all that type of stuff on there. Ben, do you want Richie Rankins first, or do you want listener questions first?
You're the host. Whatever you want, I'll do. I don't mind.
We'll go with our Richie win. We'll go with our Richie rankings now. I somehow missed a beat. As I mentioned at the start, the great Richie Baker was back in Talca on...
Please tell me you got his Richie rankings.
Friday. No. I didn't even tell him what the Richie rankings were.
Oh my God.
Because, hang on, I was a little bit starstruck. One of my favourites ever. My first Shells jersey that I can ever remember having. I had Baker on the back. So, yeah, it was a bit weird. We did the walk and talk with him. That'll be with you soon. You'll get to have a look and listen to Richie. He has verbally agreed to come onto the pod. So, hopefully, we'll have that in the not-too-distant future. But, Ben, who this week was just generally sound, a Richie Baker type, good fella, good football man, and put smiles on people's faces. Who's your Richie Baker?
Richie Baker, I'm going to give it to Keith McDarby.
Oh, for his choice of tie, was it?
Yeah, he's just an all-around sound fella, isn't he? He's looking after me this week.
He must have got you a bit of gear, did he?
Oh, well, he looked after me this week. great fella. His clobber is a bit dodgy, so he needs some bit of praise somewhere.
So Keith McDarby is somehow... Oh, something's gone on there, Ben, that I don't know about. You can tell me that when we stop recording.
Jesus. He's just...
Keith's a solid enough choice. You could probably throw him in there any week. But my Richie Baker for this week is Richie Baker himself.
Yeah, I had a feeling
great,
coming and I didn't want to
get it
from you.
Great fella, just so obliging. Did anything he was asked to do on Friday. I know he enjoyed being back. He was chatting to everybody. Everyone seemed to want to chat to him. So, yeah, never thought I'd say it, but my Richie Baker for this week is Richie Baker, with an honourable mention for Peril Slattery. Scoring a brace. Netted one last week as well.
Goal machine.
She's evergreen. Yeah, the evergreen goal machine. Ben, I'll give you... No, you give me a Richie Winters first. Go ahead. Somebody that steals sweets from kids, leaves the toilet seat up, just does other generally annoying things. Give me a Richie Winters.
This week, duty, as controversial as it may be, I've been waiting a week to give it to this person, Reggie.
Oh, what's he done? Reggie Tightlips.
Reggie Tightlips. He forgot one very important thing. His spreadsheet wasn't working. He misread it. He left someone.
Oh. Yes. Ben, you are dead right. He's the chief birthday officer.
Chief birthday officer, Reggie.
And all at the 1895 podcast want to send their sincerest apologies to Connor Cairns. And to make it worse, Ben, our captain, Mark Coyle, whose birthdays were missed. Mark Coyle's at the start of the season, mind you. So, yeah, Reggie owes a lot of people apologies there. A very good shout. I hadn't actually thought of that because Derry was a long time ago, but apologies to Connor Cairns and Mark Coyle.
I had to do the... The man works with spreadsheets every day. He shouldn't be... No. Disgraceful.
Yeah, you can't be a spreadsheet gimp and then not come up with the goods from your spreadsheet when it's needed. My Richie Winters for this week is the Drogheda physio.
Now,
I have a firm stance on this, Ben.
Right.
Physios are not there to shithouse or to fuel time wasting, or like, physios are there to keep players safe. That's what they're there for. They're there to treat players that are injured, treat players that, you know, I don't know.
So they're not supposed to drop their bag 3 times walking off the pitch, no?
No, they're not meant to do that. They're not meant to stand there like a tick, waving their hands in the air for a substitution, while the substitution is getting kitted out. Look, I understand a player goes down on the back of a tackle that the other player has been booked for. Yeah, the player stays down, gets his treatment so that he doesn't have to go off. That's fine. I'd expect our own physio to do that. No problem with that. But see this stuff standing in the middle of the pitch, wasting loads of time, waving their arms around like a dope? No. Not your place as a physio. Your place is to treat the players. You're part of the group, a hugely important part of the group, mind you. But stay in your lane, please. Stay in your lane. And I don't know, if you want to get something, maybe keep the bag around your shoulder next time or something so it doesn't keep falling.
Dude, with the cane, well and truly.
That's my Richie Winters. Oh, fuck that. Right, listener questions. We're going to power through these, but I do have my brother is waiting patiently in the background. Paul is going to take part in the Shell's Mastermind. For anybody worried, he won't win. I won't allow it. We do have contestants lined up. I struggled to get people organized this week. We had to record a bit earlier, so it threw off the schedule a little bit. So you could say he was the backup, but look,
and you're gonna be after him anyway.
That might be a bit offensive, but he is coming up shortly, so we'll try and power it through this. Before we do get to the questions, we mentioned last week, Ben, sorry, the week before last, should apologise for not being on last week. It was obviously a busy week with the Derry game, and I just couldn't find time myself at home to get it recorded, so apologies for that, but look, this episode is worth waiting for. We talked the last time we recorded about a boxing tournament, Ben,
yes,
and who would win a Shell's player boxing tournament. I went for we kind of
We had set up a prize fight of Cam versus John Martin, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes, and we both got hammered for those selections.
We did, yes.
One player did say that Cam couldn't box eggs. Yeah, I mean, somebody else said Cam couldn't throw a paper airplane, never mind a dig. I mean, he was getting hammered, fair to say. John Martin less so, but supposedly the shout for Cam was a desperate shout. I did get some inside information about somebody that wasn't mentioned at all. But supposedly a certain Lewis Temple.
Lewis Temple is a
bit of an animal.
Wow.
A bit of an animal, yeah. So the story goes. I won't reveal my source, but yeah, supposedly very, very strong. So we do probably owe a couple of apologies there. Listener questions, Ben. So first one up was Rob Lenehan. What ex-Reds player would you have back? Think we've been asked this before, but Rob went on to specify you couldn't say Moylan or Wezzo because they were probably the obvious answers. So, Ben, a past Red that you could have back now in their prime, who are you going with?
Jason Bourne.
Yeah, the moment's probably a fairly safe choice. I don't know if JL could play now, though.
Right.
I think there's too much demands on a centre forward.
Joey and Dow then.
Yeah, again, if a really solid choice. Rob actually said Kev Dawson would be his one. Said he loved him when he played for the Reds. So did I. I loved Dawson. Thought he was brilliant. I have to say Davey Mack. Because
you don't want to fall out with another staff member.
No. Listen here. That hatchet has been buried, I think. I hope. I have no issue with anybody. I'm friends with everybody.
You just came someone 2 minutes ago.
Everyone from our club.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, no, for me it'd be Davey Mack. I would have loved him to be able to play a bit longer for the Reds. I think he summed up everything we were about at the time. He was hard work, he was dedicated, but he could play an awful lot. And obviously, look, he went on to have a great career that we didn't get to see, unfortunately. But yeah, I think it'd be, imagine a Davey Mack and Mark Coyle midfield.
Now that is something. Oh, that's something I want to see. Just
yes,
just run it back, Davey. Sure you could do it. Just a game.
He definitely could. 100%.
Come on, just give us one game, please.
Ryan Myron asked, "Does anyone know what happened to Dan Carr?" After doing a bit of digging, last thing on record was he was playing for Seven Oaks in the Isthmian Southeast Division. That is like Leinster Senior League, Oberliga type stuff. Like, that's the dregs of English football. So that's where he was most recently that I could find. I stand to be corrected. If anyone does know the whereabouts Dan Carr, do let us know. He's not gone missing around. He's just playing at a terrible, terrible level. Who else have we got? Let me pull these up here now. Darren Cleary, actually.
Oh, here we
got on. He wants to know who would win an old school Shells World Cup doubles. So for anyone that doesn't know, World Cup doubles is basically, there's one goal with a keeper in it. Everyone else pairs off, obviously into twos, and the keeper just lumps the ball up in the air. When you score, you go through to the next round. Obviously, it's left to two teams. Whoever doesn't score or concedes first is out, and it just continues on till there's nobody left. I would have, as a kid, played games with like 25, 30 people involved in the World Cup doubles. So, Ben, what is your perfect World Cup doubles Shells team? Who are you backing to go all the way?
I think Gav Malloy is definitely one for me. I think he has to be. Offers a bit of everything. And I think you go with a Matty Smith.
So Matty Smith and Gav Malloy, you reckon they're taking the crown going all the way?
I think that's my pairing. Matty Smith gets you the goals. Gav Malloy will do absolutely everything else.
Interesting. I'd have to have Mark Coyle in there, just because the nature of World Cup doubles can be a lot of running, a lot of like...
His goal against Drogheda out there, just some...
That is World Cup doubles. Yeah. That is World Cup doubles, like, in a nutshell. So I think I would go with Mark Coyle, and it would be a toss-up between Will Jarvis and Boydie, because I'd want Boydie in because he'd win every single kickoff.
Smart. This is very strategic from you.
Yeah, and then Coyler's just shuttling around, winning balls back. So it'd be a toss-up. Coyler's definitely in. Toss-up between Boydie and Jarvis, I think. Because he can just come up with a bit of magic. And look, everyone had like a sleepy mate in World Cup doubles that...
He'd just zone out and then get the goal.
Yeah, he'd pop up when he needed to, type thing. Like, he'd run around like a lunatic to get through first, so you get the most rest. That type of thing. So, but no, Boydie and Coyle, I think, would be my two. I think they would.
I think we should open that up to the group chat if the group chat's open.
Yeah, the group chat's always open. It just fell away a little bit for a while. I think our little downturn in form didn't help with that. And
I think that'd be one I'd like to get the players involved in. Like, who would they be picking?
Yeah, actually, hopefully we get a good result on Friday, Ben, and we can
ask everyone.
Yeah, we can get a few of those out there. But again, that phone number, 0516667 84, or catch us on any of the social media platforms. Let us know who is your ideal Shells World Cup double team out of the current crop. I've lost my spot. Hang on now. Oh, Kev Hardiman was on asking about the European draw. Basically, he asked, is the away leg set in stone? Is the date set in stone? So there is set dates for the two fixtures.
The 11th and 17th of July.
The 11th and 17th of July. Bingo. Thank you, Ben. The way that works is, so there's pot A and pot B. A name is taken out of pot A, which is the seeded teams. A name is taken out of pot B, which is the unseeded team. It's put into a middle pot. They're shuffled around, and the first name that comes out of that pot is at home first. So it's a complete lottery, basically, whether you're home or away first. As far as I know, the teams can, you know, if there's a reason to change, like ground availability or anything like that, it could be changed for that reason. But yeah, basically, if we want to be at home first, we need air. Name to be picked out first. That's really how that works. There was a couple of more questions. Fastest finger first type stuff here. A few of these are a bit too long-winded to get through tonight, but I do make a list of these and we'll get back to them when we can. Shells fan was on saying, what's with some of the negativity around the place? The club as a whole is on the up and in the middle of a total success story. I would tend to agree. Keep your real dour negativity to yourself, especially at the game. Whatever about going online after. Like, yeah, have at it there, but not at the game. Stay positive. Stay behind the group is what I would say. Seamus. Mac was on saying, I want Tosh to take on the Mastermind Challenge. I would 100% agree with that. I think that's something we should try and sort out. Liam Lynch, will we hold on to first place, Ben?
Ask me in a few weeks.
For sake. Yes, we will hold on to first place. We're going to win it all.
But I'm glad you said it, because someone had to.
Shane F89, is there any news on transfers in before European games, or do you think we can do well without? I do think we need a couple of bodies.
I think if just for rotation, if anything, I think it shows, you know, when one, like, I think when Mark Coyle is out, that's a massive loss, and that's something that could do with addressing, I think. I think it's a not an issue, but it's something that could definitely do it. Maybe strengthening. We can manage, but here, look, if it can be better, it can be better.
Yeah, 100%. Ben, we're over the hour mark, and I still have to cover Mastermind. So,
you're kicking me off. You're blowing me. Rubbed off. The hamstring is gone. Get your brother in.
I wouldn't go that far, but look, I know we covered plenty of football there, and the academy results, and the women's game, the men's game, the whole lot. But the most important thing at this moment in time is, for 250 years, Tolga ain't going anywhere, and that is most definitely the most important part of tonight. Ben, thank you very much as always for giving up your evening.
Thank you, Doody. A pleasure as always. If you don't mind, if you would do me one favour, is to rattle off that number one more time so we can get people to send in their memories from Tolga.
You know what, Ben? Realistically, you should be presenting this because you have that gene that you're just able for it. I am the most unorganised buffoon of a man to be hosting something like this. But the number is, for the final time, 085-166-6784. My own brother, Paul, welcome to the 1895 podcast.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I might have been slagging you a little bit there. You were kind of drafted in because we do have people lined up, but they just weren't available this week. So you're after pigeonholing yourself in, but we'll take it.
Yeah. With very little preparation time, just for the record.
Yeah, similar to Aido, get the excuses in early. Look, it's Mastermind.
To be fair,
it's
now
very straightforward.
He's a brain box now.
Yeah, well, look, he's a teacher, and his shell's knowledge was.
I'm not.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll see how we go. It's 10 questions on your specialist subject, which is.
The 2006 league season.
Oh, no, hang on. It wasn't league season.
Oh,
the 2006 season.
About it. The 2006 season. That's grand. Thanks.
No,
so
you know how this works. Somebody would have came back and said, oh, he's asking stuff about the Stanley Cup. No, that's not fair. And then there's 10 Shell's general knowledge questions. So, score to beat is 18 out of 20. It will take some beating, but... Well, shouldn't have been bothered.
No,
right, are you ready to rock?
Look, I'm only here for the fun. Yeah, do it.
Right, the Reds only failed to beat one team in the league in 2006. Who was it?
I'm going to say Derry.
Incorrect. It was Cork.
Derry.
We lost the League Cup final on penalties. We missed all three. Jason Byrne missed his penalty. Can you name either of the other two players that missed?
Going to have to go clever here and imagine Crowe.
Correct.
As rare as it was, this one, but he definitely would have taken one.
Yeah, correct. Glenn Crowe is one. Any idea on the other?
No. No.
Dave Rogers.
Oh, was he even doing getting near the penalty?
Yeah, well, very unlike Scouser to want to get involved. In 2006, we were beaten in the semi-final of the Setanta Cup by who?
The Setanta Cup. We were beaten. That was Cork.
Correct.
Wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, correct. Cork away, beaten 2-0. Next up, who? Yeah, they weren't. They were, in fairness. Who was Pat Fenlon's assistant for 2006?
Eamon Collins.
Correct. We played Vetcha Vilnius in the Intertoto Cup first round. Which current League of Ireland midfielder made his European debut off the bench?
Who was left? Oh, Gary Deegan.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that through gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Who did the first? correct. It was Gary Deegan. Yeah, who did the first win of the 2006 league season come against?
Pats.
Incorrect. Waterford. Shell scored 10 goals against two different teams in that league season. Can you name one of them? So we scored 10 goals against Team A and 10 goals against Team B in total over the course of the season. So name one of the teams.
Surely UCD were one.
Correct.
Or Waterford, yeah.
Oh, UCD is right. Bray was the other one.
Bray, yeah.
Next up, who got sent off for Shells in the league decider against Bowes?
Oh, it was late in the game.
Yeah, it was very late in the game.
It's Richie Baker.
Correct.
Yeah.
How many league goals did Jason Byrne score that year?
Fifteen.
Correct.
Yeah.
And last up on the specialist subject, who knocked us out of the Intertoto Cup that year?
Odense.
Correct. Not bad. 8 out of 10. So you're alive and kicking. You could tie this up.
If I get now, 2 was all I want. 2. A respectable 10.
Always the pessimist. That's an era thing, definitely.
Shelbourne fan.
Yeah. So this is the general knowledge. So it can be from any era, any type of question. So first up, who did Shell's largest ever European win come against?
Oh, I'm gonna say Vetra.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah. 4-0, yeah. 4-0. That's the one. Oh. Between 2010 and 2013, Shells had two interim managers. Name either of them. Right, I'm gonna have to push it. Kev Doherty, correct.
Yes, who was the other one?
Colly O'Neill.
Oh, right, okay.
In 2007, what position did Shells finish in the league? So that was obviously the season after the demotion.
Sixth, I don't know.
Incorrect. Fifth. Close, but no cigar. In 2011, which non-league team beat Shells but were subsequently removed from the cup?
Sheriff, was it?
Correct.
Yeah.
Shells won the league in the 2001-2002 season after Pats were docked how many points?
Oh, there's 12 or 15. 15.
Correct. Not bad. Who was the most recent player to win an international cap while playing for Shells?
Oh, was it? I have three in my head, J.O., Wezzo, or Crowey. I'm going to go for Wezzo.
Incorrect.
Too obvious. was it?
Jason Bourne. Right, so there's two of these. They're worth a point each. Who did we sign these players from? So what club? You should get these now. Sean Dillon.
Longford.
Correct.
Dillon me softly.
Jason Bourne.
Bray.
Correct. Last up, who scored Shell's first goal in the 3-1 win to get us promoted in 2019?
The first goal?
Yes. Everyone remembers the other two. There's a forgotten one.
Was it Dell?
Incorrect. Aidan Friel.
Aidan Friel.
One of the most forgettable Reds fullbacks you'll come across.
Meant to be
not too shabby. 14 out of 20. Not bad. You said, you say you're aiming for 10, was it? 10 out of 12?
10 was the target. I'm not one of them people like Aino that remembers everything. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, it's not, although you weren't drinking for that year, were you? So you probably should have got a couple down. But look,
that was kind of that year I started drinking. Oh.
There you go, yeah.
Specifically remember the League Cup final away on a Monday night. I was in quite a bad way actually on the way home, that if I recall correctly.
Doesn't do anyone any harm. Just before you do go, obviously I mentioned earlier on there with Ben, we're recording on the 13th of May. The news just came out there that Shell's been granted the 250-year lease was confirmed. So Tolka is not going anywhere. Myself and Ben gave her Tolka memories. Give me a memory from Tolka. Something you think of when you think of Tolka Park.
To be honest, which is what really stands out to me with Tolka is, to be honest, them years from 2007 on is really, really harrowing, like, in terms of, like, how bad it was and how empty the place was. But, like, it was still there all the time, every week, and people were still showing up. And, I mean, the place was in bits and there was volunteers giving up their time to do everything with the place. Like, to think then, even at that time, that the place would be gone. Was hard to believe. So kind of just like, it's obviously the big games stand out all the time and stuff, but just the general era there of kind of 2007 for the next six seven years, like, you know, it just, the whole place is just, you had to ram the place as well at the time in terms of the lockup with the flags and all that kind of stuff and coming in and out and using the stand and that to do the displays. Like, the lads would have been in there like during the week doing the displays when Johnny was up doing the gear and stuff. So like, it's, that's all kind of off the pitch stuff, do you know what I mean? That all, you have the memories of the place and the fact that it's still there and it's going to be kept there, like, to go forward. And like, the way the club is poised at the minute, like, with everything that they're doing, it's quite emotional to think that, like, it's all kind of safe now and it's all going in the direction it should do, you know?
Perfect. Nail on the head stuff again. Thank you very much for coming on, giving up your evening.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I'm not the last now. Hopefully I'm not the very worst there now, so I'll take that.
No, I'd be surprised if you're last place. We should actually come up with some kind of forfeit, but yeah, I would be surprised if you're last.
Definitely, and I'm exempt from it if I do feel last because it wasn't agreed beforehand.
Yeah, get that contract out.
Brilliant.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.